All right, good morning. Good to see you today. The Lord bless you. Glad you're with us. If you're a guest, we're honored to have you. Watching by the live stream, glad you're here with us. If you need a Bible, get your hand up real high, and our ushers will gladly give you the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible, just keep that one they give to you. We'll sew that to you. You need to get in the Word. You get in the Word, and God will get into you, and you'll start seeing a change in your life. So once you get a Bible, go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. We still believe in opening the Bible around here, so you'll hear pages thumbing through there. We are on our dilemmas series again, and so there'll be several dilemmas you'll see again today. And every one of us, no matter who we are, we make daily choices, and those choices I make lead me to the kingdom of God, or they lead me away from the kingdom of God. And so you'll begin to see right here today, you may need to change your agenda somewhat. So we begin Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Red letter words, the Lord Jesus speaking to us, and he said, enter by the narrow gate. Now, I'm just going to stop right there, because it's almost like Jesus knows this is a multiple test question, and he gives us the answer already. Jesus just cheated for you. Enter by the narrow gate. Keep reading. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. So Jesus, real quick, he gives us two roads, two gates. One's narrow, one's broad, or one's wide. And it's interesting, he says, this broad road is the way that leads to destruction. Keep reading. And there are many who go by in it. And so could this broad road, could it be because we've been given faulty directions, easygoing formulas that don't line up to the Word of God? Because he said, it's the road that leads to destruction, and many go in by it. It's very crowded. Actually, when you read this, it's overcrowded. Verse 14. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way to live to leads to life. Now, this is interesting. He says this narrow gate is difficult, but it's the way that leads to life. You know why I believe it's narrow? Because there's only one way on it. And the Lord Jesus said in John 14, 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. The only way, and let me highlight, the only way to the Father is through the Son. There's no other ways, there's no other shortcuts, there's no other cutting corners. You either come in by the Lord Jesus or you don't get in. And some people may say, I believe there's many ways to God. Well, you're entitled to your opinion. I differ. I choose to believe the Word of God. And the Word of God says there is only one way. And so we get a real clear description right here of this narrow gate. And he said, it's difficult. It's vigorous. It's not easy. And when you give your heart to Jesus, that's relatively easy, because the gift of Jesus is just that, a gift. And when it's a gift, you receive the gift. You can't earn it. You just receive it. So when he says this narrow gate is difficult, why is it difficult? Because it's not going to be popular. And it's not going to be easy, but it still doesn't change the truth. And so he gives us this dilemma right here. And he ends in verse 14 and he says, there's just a few who find it. Just a few. So if we read this, are you on the narrow road or are you on the wide road? Are you on the road that's not very popular or the one that's real popular? What I find out about the things of God, that we live in a society that likes instant things. We like everything instant. And let me just highlight this. God's into marinating. We're into microwaving. And so in our society, everything's got to be fast. But sometimes the Lord just marinates us. He just keeps us in an area for a while to grow us, to develop us, to make us patient. That's why sometimes this is very difficult. Anybody in here struggle with patience? Ooh, I'm glad you guys are telling the truth today. Welcome to the NFL. That's probably all of us. We all struggle with patience. It's one of those things that I said, Lord, you got to slow me down here. Help me in this thing. So we read these two roads, and again, the narrow, the wide. Can I tell you something? It's not too late to get on the narrow road. God still takes messes and makes miracles. But it becomes a choice of every one of us is to get on that narrow road. And it's incredible. It leads to the road called life. And if you were to study the Bible in John 10:10, the Lord said, I came to give you life and that more abundantly. And so when I get on the narrow road, I get introduced to a thing called life that I've never seen it this way. And so I go back to all the years back before I gave my heart to Jesus. I thought I was living, but I wasn't living until I gave my heart to him. And then I got on this road. Now, we're going to stay in the book of Matthew chapter 7. Jog on down with me to verse 24, same chapter. And as we get to verse 24, let me give you a little picture here. Many of us in here have had cracks on a wall. And sometimes when we have those cracks on the wall, we patch them, and they just keep coming back. And finally, we realize there's not a problem with the wall. There's a problem with the foundation. And that's the same with many of us in here. The problem is not the wall, it's the foundation. And that foundation can be messed up. In those areas that get messed up, I can be off emotionally, I can be off financially, I can be off relationally, I can be off spiritually. And so what happens to us as human beings, we treat the symptom instead of the source. And so right here, Jesus is going to go straight to the source for me and you. So pick up with me, Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, anyone who hears these sayings of mine, and does them, obeys them, applies them to their life. Now, it's interesting right here because Jesus says, you can listen to the Word of God and still not obey the Word of God. But the benefit of listening and obeying is then you walk out the things. You work the Word of God into your life. And when the Word of God becomes part of your life, you'll begin to see huge changes. But he says there's one who hears the word of God, and he says, and he does them, I will liken him to a wise man. Now, every one of us in here would like to be viewed or compared to a wise man. But it's interesting that Jesus, he breaks down his biblical definition of a wise man, and a wise man is a man who hears the word of God and he applies the word of God, and he said he'll be compared to a wise man who what? Who built his house upon the rock, not a rock, but the rock, which is the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the rock. And so he gives us incredible insight right here. I got to hear the word. I got to respond to the word. I got to obey the word. And when I do that, it's like my life is built on a solid foundation called a rock. Keep reading. Verse 25. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and they beat on that house. And it did not fall where it was founded on the rock. Now, it's interesting right here. You can hear the word of God. You can obey the word of God. But the rains are still going to come. The floods are still going to come. And the winds are going to still come. Even when you live by the word of God. Now that may be a nugget of truth for you today. Because I heard a guy recently make this comment. He said, if you are truly born again, you'll never experience anything bad again. You know what my thought is? That dude was delusional. He hadn't read his Bible. It doesn't matter how much you hear the Word of God and live the Word of God. None of us are exempt from the storms of life. They're going to come, but because you've built your house on the rock, you know what that means? The sun's going to come out tomorrow. God's faithful. God will help every one of us. Keep reading, verse number 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. You can hear the word of God and not obey the word of God. Anybody ever done that? I have. And look what it says. He will be like a foolish man. The Amplified says he will be a stupid carpenter. I didn't say that, okay? We would be like a foolish man. Keep reading. He was a foolish man who built his house on the sand. When you see the sand, it signifies an insecure foundation. And look at the results here. He built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Great was its destruction. Great was its collapse. And could that be because I got faulty information? That's why you got to stay with the Word of God. You got to believe the Word of God. You got to trust the Word of God. So we read this right here, and in Jesus' words, there's two types of people, the wise and the foolish. But both right here, they had three things in common. Number one, they both built. Number two, both of them heard Jesus' words. And number three, both of them experienced the violent storms. Now, this is where the similarities end and the contrast begins. So this becomes our great dilemma today, and whether you're wise or you're foolish, it all depends on how you built your house. And so the wise, he builds on the rock, the foolish builds on the sand. And so when we see the word wise, the biblical definition of wise or wisdom is the ability and willingness to apply spiritual truth to life circumstances. The foolishness is the inability or the unwillingness to apply spiritual truths to life's realities. And so what happens here, the structural differences are going to be revealed. Now, I thought about whispering this to you, but I'm just going to shout it, okay? Life storms are coming. In other words, all hell is getting ready to break loose. You might as well get ready. And so again, the contrast right here is how did I build my house? See, we can all hear the Word of God, but unless I apply the Word of God to my life, it's not going to do me any good. And so Jesus right here, he makes this point to us. And when the storms of life, the trials of life show up, they will reveal or expose the foundation you've built on. Now, here's a must for every one of us. If you want to build your house on the rock, three things. You're going to have to be disciplined. You're going to have to persevere. And you're going to have to be persistent. Day by day by day. You get in the Word day by day by day by day. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 4. He said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so as we feed our natural man three hot meals a day, we feed our spirit man one cold snack a week, and we wonder why we're spiritually malnourished. Come on now. Thank you. There's one excited. So we look at the dilemma right here. You on the narrow road, you on the wide road. You build your house on the rock, or do you build your house on the sand? Something that every one of us have to look at. So go with me to the book of Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, and you know, you don't have to obey the Bible. None of us do. But there's consequences for ignoring it. Huge consequences, because he said, and great was its fall. We go to the book of Malachi chapter 3. We've been at Malachi. He's only four chapters. Chapter number one, Malachi got over on people that played games with God. They show up to church, but they serve God for what God can do for them, not for who he is. That was Malachi 1. Malachi 2, we got over on the marriage covenant. Remember God said in Malachi 2, he said, my holy institution, which I love. Malachi 3, remember in Malachi 3, 6, it says, God does not change. And then in Malachi 3, we got over on a thing called money. And everybody got nervous when we got on that. And then we got toward the end of Malachi 3 and we got on the fear of God. And what you find on the fear of God, it's mentioned in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. So off of that thought, go with me back to Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Malachi 3, verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord. Those who feared the Lord. Now, remember our definition of the fear of the Lord. It's to reverence God. It's to stand in holy awe of God. So what happens in our life? We either fear God or we fear men. You're going to fear one or the other. So he highlights here and he said, those who feared the Lord, they spoke to one another. They encouraged one another. They exhorted one another. That would be like me and you looking at each other and say, stay with it. Keep serving God. Keep fearing God. That's what God fears do. That we are iron sharpens iron when we get over on each other. And he said they exhorted or they spoke to one another. Now listen to this. And the Lord listened and he heard them. Who did he listen to and who did he hear? Those who lived with the fear of God. Now this may be an ouchie for you, okay? If you feel like God right now is not hearing you or listening to you, could it be because you don't fear him? Ooh. Keep reading. So he listened and he heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him. God does a little journaling. God has a book with every man and woman that fears him. Now here's the question off of that. Is your name in there? Oof. God has a book of remembrance written before him for those who fear the Lord and those who meditate on his name. I reverence him and I worship him. When it comes to fearing God and worshiping God, are you picky how you reverence God, how you worship God? And what I mean by that, are you ashamed of God or are you ashamed of the gospel? Because I mean, you take me to a football game, I'm going to get excited. You're going to know he's got a passion about the football game. But when I come to church, I get real reserved. We look around like who's watching? Well, who gives a flip who's watching? I mean, do we honor God? Are we here to worship God? Or are we here to play games? And so this is what he's getting over. Actually, when I read Malachi, it's like he's saying, where's your heart at? Where's your true heart at? So we keep reading here. Verse 17, they shall be mine. Now, when I'm reading that, I'm having the thought, who shall be his? God says, they shall be mine. The people that honor him with their worship and they reverence him with the fear of God, God says specifically, they shall be mine. And so God is aware. He's very aware of how we worship him and how we reverence him. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On that day, and let me highlight what that day is. On that day, I act in judgment. So every one of us, I don't care how you spell your name, there's going to come a day when you're going to stand before God. And you can either say amen or oh me. On that day, I will make them my jewels. I will make them my special treasures. Now just think about something. If it's a jewel, you don't get home from work and you just don't sling it on the counter. You know where it's at. You protect it and you take care of it. And so it's interesting, God said, I've got some jewels. I've got some special treasures. And he said, I will spare them in the time of judgment, just as a man or a parent spares his own son who serves him. So those who feared me, I'm going to spare them. There's going to be a grace upon your life. Oh, happy day. Verse 18. Then you shall again discern. You'll see the difference between the righteous and the wicked. You're going to see a difference. You're going to see a separation. The righteous and the unrighteous. Very clear right here. Now, look how the Bible says you'll be able to discern that between the one who serves God and the one that does not serve him. So here we ask the question again. Do you serve God or do you not serve God? Do you worship God or do you not worship God? Now, when we study the word an appraiser is a person that examines something and sets its value on it. If we were to appraise God right now, how many of you believe that God is worth all your praise, your honor, your glory? Not just on Sundays. See, too many people in the house of God on Sundays. We're a saint on Sunday, and then we're a sinner on Monday. We live like the devil through the week, and then we stroll back in. And so God is worthy as we appraise him. He's worthy because he never changes. His word's forever settled in heaven. God is faithful, even as we sang today. The goodness of God. So when I read all this, God's desire is every one of us to be one of his jewels, a special treasure. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Back to your left. Proverbs chapter 14. So I'm going to give you a little thought as you're turning to Proverbs 14. The book of Proverbs is 31 chapters. This is your homework assignment. Whatever day of the month it is, read that proverb. So tomorrow will be October 6th. Read the 6th proverb. Read it the whole month, and then you say, well, what do we do when we get to the end of the month? You start over. And then you read it again for the next month. And then you say, what do we do when we hit the 1st of December? Start changing translations. Because the book of Proverbs is the three M's. It's about your morals, it's about your money, and it's about marriage. And I'm telling you right now, the book of Proverbs, it's like a heavyweight boxing champion. It's going to punch you right in the head. I mean, it hits me right square in the head every time I read it. But I like the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9. Listen to this. Fools mock at sin. One translation says, fools are deceived by their own stupidity. But among the upright, there is favor. Among the righteous, there is favor. Now, I don't know if you've ever studied the word favor in the Bible. The favor is, I get what I don't deserve. God said in Psalm 5:12, he said, I bless my righteous and my favor would surround you like a shield. I welcome the favor of God wherever you are. And so he makes a clear distinction here again between the fool and the righteous. Now you're going to fall in one of the two categories. Don't elbow your spouse and say he's talking to you. Verse 10. The heart knows its own bitterness. Our heart knows what's on the inside of us, every one of us. And a stranger does not share its joy. The house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright or the righteous will flourish. Verse 12, now this is where we're really going to dive into this for a second. There is a way, there is a road, there is a means, a path that seems right to a man. It seems harmless to a man. It's a path of error. It's a path that you've chosen, and you can't rationalize it. You can't justify it. And so it's interesting right here that he says there's a way that seems right to man. If I live by the things that seem right to man, I'm going to get in trouble real quick. Now, biblical reference off that is the book of Judges, chapter 21. Judges was one of the most difficult and dark times of the Old Testament. You know why it was the dark and difficult time? The Bible said this: all the people did what they thought was right in their own eyes. Now, let me ask you a question. If you did everything that you thought was right in your own eyes, where would you be right now? I can tell you where I'm. I'm dead. I'm 6 foot under. I'm worm food. Or I'm in jail the rest of my life. How many of you in here, before you got born again, you pressed the envelope? You lived on the edge, kind of like my feet. Sometimes people get nervous. My feet start hanging over. See, this is what it's talking about. I can't live by the opinions of man. I can't live by the philosophies of man. I can't live by CNBC. I can't live by ABC. I've got to live by the Word of God. So to live by the Word of God, I've got to follow the Scriptures and I've got to follow the commandments of God. Not always easy. If you've been serving God very long in your life, how many can attest it's not always easy to obey God? Have any of you ever looked at the Scriptures and wanted to tear that page out of your Bible? I do that all the time. I don't tear it out. I want to. See, this is what he's talking about. And I highlight this is because I believe this was what was happening to the Jewish people for thousands of years. And Malachi dealt with it at the end of the Old Testament. And so he goes on to say here, there's a way that seems right or harmless to a man. But listen to this. But its end is the way of death. It's the way. There's that word again, the way. The road, the path that leads to death. Now, Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. So what happens on every one of our lives? With whatever foundation we're building on, is my foundation, is it structured to the temporary or to the eternal? Now, here's a thought for you. Every one of us in here, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. And the last time I read my Bible, there's only two choices. You're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And when people have the thought, everybody's going to heaven, don't kid yourself. And so the only people who are in heaven are the ones that receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. It's the gift of God. Let me give you a biblical reference. Ephesians 2:8 says, we've been saved by grace through faith. It's the gift of God. So when we're offered a gift, you can't pay for a gift. If Jesse was to offer me a gift and I said, here, let me write you a check for that. One, he'd look at me like, what type of stupid are you? It's a gift. But again, you can't pay for a gift. You either welcome it, you receive it. And that's the way salvation is. I just received salvation. And so the wages of sin is death. The compensation of sin is death. Here's a God thought for you, okay? How many of you in here know if Jesus wouldn't be Lord of your life, you'd have spent eternity in hell? I believe that with all my heart. And so for the first 18 years of my life, I lived for the devil. I was ignorant to the things of God. and I caused a lot of issues. I mean, a lot of issues. I was on that wide road with everybody else that was partying and saying, "Woo, we can live however we want." And then, you know what? I came to a place in my life where I realized this: there's got to be more to life than I'm experiencing. And I remember the day I gave my heart to Jesus, and he took a mess and he made a miracle. And you know what? I'm far from perfect, but I've never gone back to that broad road. I said, I'm going to stay on the narrow road. And I'm going to ask you to shut your Bible, and I'm going to ask you to stand up here with me today.